Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Lift your hands toward heaven one more time and just give God the praise. Can you surrender to Him? Surrender to Him. Surrender to Him. Surrender to Jesus. Bless His name. Thank you, Father. Ha 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 ha. Hey, ah, 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 hey, hey, ah, 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 ah. With wine, wherein is excess. He said, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual tongues. There are realms in God where articulate language can't suffice. When His glory is manifested, sometimes we just chant in the Holy Ghost. We just chant. Can we chant one more time as we release our spirit to the eternal waters? God appeared, and the 24 elders saw him. For the first time, they discovered it was wrong to call God a name. You know, the reason you can give God a name is because of the limited revelation of him you have. If you see his full name, full glory, no name qualifies for him. And that's why the angels in heaven, in the throne room, they call him holy. Holy is not a name. Holy is a class. Holy is an order. It means where you are, no one can come there. If we are talking about love, your own love is different. If we are talking about power, your own power is different. If we are talking about mercy, your own mercy is different. So you are in your own class, because there is no name to capture the totality of God. They said holy, holy. The word kadosh is the word holy. Can we chant that chant one more time? Pure, you ancient Zion King, kadosh, kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Of scripture in Revelation chapter 4, you discover that as they were calling holy, they couldn't look at him. You know, God told man, he said, this is what I shall be called forever. He said, Yahweh. That is the revelation of God to man. God is not only the God of man, he's the God of elders, he's the God of cherubims. He's the God of seraphims. He's the God of angels. He's not only the God of man. So if you want to know him, you have to bring the total revelation of God to men. Bring the total revelation of God to angels. Bring the total revelation of God to seraphims. Bring the total revelation of God to cherubims. Bring the total revelation of God to the 24 elders before you begin to have an idea who he is. So they say, if you call him a name, you are wrong. If this God is so big, how can you come before him and say you have a problem? How can you come before him and think you are defeated? If he says one word to you, it's enough for you and your entire lineage. He spoke only to Abraham. It affected Isaac. It affected Jacob. It affected many generations because of where he's talking from. Tonight, somebody will meet the Kadosh himself, the Holy One of Israel, that is bigger than the biggest, greater than the greatest. Somebody lift your hands and give him the praise. You're right. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much. You may be seated. You know, when you come for a meeting like this, sometimes people are almost being distracted with their needs. Whereas the least thing to consider in a meeting like this are your needs and your problems. They are too insignificant. If we can honor God and we can catch the revelation of his word, our needs will vanish even before we ask. What you call a problem is a problem because of the realm where you are. If you leave that realm, that problem ceases to exist. When we got to the airport, sir, the airport was surrounded with trees and mountains. If you want to trek out of that place, you will collide with trees, you will collide with mountains. We would have been climbing one mountain up until now.
But you see, the moment the plane ascended, it left the trees behind. It left the mountains behind. It didn't even try to uproot the mountain. There is a realm where you remove mountains. There's another realm, you go over it. The mountain can be there. You have left there. That's what revelation does. When revelation comes, you don't necessarily need to uproot the mountain. You ascend beyond the realm of the mountain. The mountain will still be there. You will still be making progress. Did you not see Jesus' life? Moses had to part the Red Sea. Jesus walked on water. There are two different realms. There is a realm where you need to divide the sea. There's another realm where even the sea will help you to fulfill destiny. I prophesy over someone. There is nothing that will reduce the quality of your life tonight. Everything the devil called a challenge, you ascend above it. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated. You may be seated. My spirit is charged. I'm trying to gather. You know, our own generation, sir. Your generation, you are builders. You came to lay foundation for us to stand. We are warriors. Your own generation, you are builders. You created the architecture for a generation. We came as warriors. We are the generation of the last days. We are fighters. That's why we don't sing songs. We chant. Somebody shout! Praise God. We celebrate the fathers. Please, you are blessed. Let's read Bible. In if it 10 minutes to go, I will come back here. Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1. Ah, dear Lord Jesus. We are considering a very sensitive subject. And it's very sensitive because of the times that we are in. And I'll trust the Holy Spirit to grant me utterance to communicate certain sensitive emphasis here tonight. The operations of God are captured into dispensations and into ages. In fact, if you study Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, the Bible revealed that when this age comes to an end, this whole civilization will be wrapped up and a new age will begin. But in every age, there are dispensations. And so the dealings of God with men is sensitive to the dispensation that they are in as touching God's eternal agenda. Where we are currently is called the last days. And because we are in the last days, our understanding of the things of the Spirit must be acute. It must be precise and it must be definite. We cannot afford to know things hazily and haphazardly. Because knowledge at this time is not just something you know in order to have light and direction. Knowledge is also a weapon. Because you will fight many wars and you will fight many battles. And so the subject we are considering is very imperative because many persons are currently in a state of deep slumber. If you understand what the devil is doing now, there are two major things he wants to achieve. The first thing he wants to achieve is to put a generation to sleep or to paralyze a generation. You put a generation to sleep through the power of pleasure, and then you paralyze a generation through the power of fear. These are two things the devil is doing across the world. And that's why you turn to your news, you turn to any media outlet, you are hearing stories that literally paralyze your faith. It looks as if there's no hope for tomorrow. It's an attempt of the devil. And coincidentally, because we are in the last days, the Bible also prophesied, eschatologically speaking now, that in the last days there shall be rumors of war. There shall be pestilence and there shall be famine. So this is what is happening at this time. And so too many persons are either deadened or asleep because of pleasure or because of fear. And so on one side, the faith of men is paralyzed. On another side, the passion and the love that men should have towards God is very cold. And so they are not aware of what God is doing. Many are ignorant and oblivious of what God is doing at this time. This is why there must be a trumpet in the spirit for a generation to wake up. And so the conference Arise is one that is central, sensitive, and very significant as far as the times that we are in is concerned. Look into the internet today. Everything suggests seduction and immorality. Everything awakens appetites of pleasure. So much so that people are now buried, not 6 feet below the earth, but some people are buried in their phones. The phone has become a grave. And they are locked in there from morning till night, day after day, not necessarily doing anything productive, but just feeding the appetites of the flesh. Because pleasure is a weapon the devil is using. And the whole idea is to deaden a generation until they can no longer pick the frequencies of God. And if they can't pick the frequencies of God, they cannot participate in God's agenda. However, our existence matters to the degree that we participate in God's agenda. And so if you are not participating in God's agenda, what are you doing here? That's why the Bible said, him that liveth for pleasure, he said he's dead while he's walking. So many people are walking, but they are corpses. Because a corpse is not necessarily in a mortuary. A man who is overtaken by pleasure is a corpse. Is a living dead. And this is what the devil is doing. And so you find a great is still struggling with Star Lagabia. And he feels his excitement. Every evening, he goes to a bar, sits down, and he says, give me mortuary standard. Because he's actually a friend of the mortuary. He's close to the mortuary. And he takes one bottle, takes two bottles, he takes seven bottles. He doesn't know that he's drinking away his destiny. You find a man who should be a leader, that should bring strategies, policies, and structure to the civilizations of men in order to pave the way for God to fulfill his agenda. That man is still pursuing after harlots, and he thinks he's living large because pleasure has destroyed his sensitivity. He can't pick what God is saying. And so even if God shouts, he cannot hear. And they have deceived him in church that because he is born again, he will hear the trumpet. If you cannot hear the voice of God now, you can't hear the trumpet. Make no mistakes about it. Because it's the same place, the same faculty that hears God's voice that will hear the trumpet. If that faculty is dead now, it will be dead when he appears. Because you don't hear his voice, you can't hear the trumpet. And many are not aware. A generation is asleep. And so Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1, there is a wake up call. They say, arise. And the reason you have to arise is because there is a shine that is tied to your destiny for your generation. And until you arise, you cannot bring value to your generation and you cannot bring God's purpose to your generation. At least the one that is tied to you. Because every man on earth is an errand from heaven. The way God sends messages to the earth realm is through the womb gate. When men are born, an errand is sent from heaven. And that errand is supposed to be a light that illuminates darkness until people begin to find their destiny. But you see, he said that can never happen, no matter how powerful your ordination is, until you arise. He said when you arise, you will shine. And when you shine, he said the proof that you are shining is not the language you are speaking, it's the people that follow you. So followership is not something you lobby for. Followership is a product of shining. And so, when people are following you, it means there is a light. And then, it's not just people following you. It's also the quality of people following you. Because the quality of people following you is a definition of the kind of light you are emitting. If sick people come around you, it means there is a light from you that addresses sickness. If kings come around you, it means there's a light from you that educates people that have business with thrones. And so when you look back and nobody is following you, it means you are walking in darkness. Some persons, because of the privilege of the ordinance of marriage, at least one woman is following them. Even that one, they can't lead. They come home, they slap her, they kick her, they punch her. That one is marriage that made it possible. The only one following you. She now helped your life and increased you by 3 children. So 4 people are following you. Even that one you cannot lead. It means your life is dry. And so there is an alarm. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. There are 3 things you need to understand about that scripture. Arise. Number one is to awake. Because when it says arise, it doesn't mean people are lying down. It actually means people are in the state of slumber. They are dead. So they have to wake up even before they rise. And so Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14, it says, awake, awake, thou that sleepest. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So a people are not just lying down. They are actually dead. And the reason they are dead is because they can't pick what God is saying. If you are sitting in this room tonight and you cannot tell with precision what God is saying about your life, then this conference is for you. Awake! Because when the devil comes, he will deaden your frequencies, your faculties. You can't pick signals anymore. Your life becomes a product of luck and chance. If you hear that things are working in Zimbabwe, you're on your way to Zimbabwe. If you hear that things are working in UK, you're on your way to UK. See, sons don't wonder. We journey for inheritance. We don't wonder. We don't wonder. When you find a son moving, it's because he's following a light. He's following a light. A spirit appeared to him in the halls of the Chaldees and said, come, I will take you to a land. I will take. So he's pursuing inheritance. He's not a wanderer. He's not a nomadic farmer looking for anywhere there is pasture. He is following a voice. There is a light he's following. But you see, when you can't find people who are specifically directed, it means they are in slumber. And so for such people, there is a call to awake, awake, awake. And so when you awake, then you come into the second phase, which is responsibility. That's when you now understand the meaning of arise. Because arise is not God will lift you up. Arise is for you to take responsibility for your destiny. Because when God tells you, this is who you will be, you will now prepare for a journey. Because you will go through a process in order to become it. So arise, number one, implies to wake up from the powers of slumber. Arise, number two, implies waking up to responsibility, taking the responsibilities of your destiny. There are many persons who don't understand the place of responsibility. They are waiting for prophecies from January to December. Prophecies are powerful, but there's a part you must play. No matter the prophecies you receive, no matter the oil poured on your head, if you don't wake up to the consecrations of your destiny, you will never become. And so the second meaning of arise in that scripture is to come into responsibility so that you receive everything that God is bringing in the light that is directed in your path. And then the third thing about that scripture is for you to shine. That is to put to work what God has put on your inside. And so a man who wakes up, hears what God is saying, understands what God has given him, he takes responsibility to refine it and to perfect himself to walk in it, and then he begins to put it to work. If you wake up, take responsibility to refine what God has given you and begin to put it to work to the degree that it impacts humanity, then you have arisen. If your life is not impacting humanity and bringing glory to God, then you have not arisen as a son. And so you wake up from slumber, you take responsibility of refinement, and then you impact humanity and glorify God. This is the summary of what this conference is about. That there are many potentials that are still dormant. And the reason they are dormant is because they are still in the grave of slumber. Some are in the slumber of pleasure. Some are in the slumber of fear. Some are in the slumber of the blindness that the devil cast on the souls of men. But by all means, these people must wake up. And when they wake up, they must begin to follow the responsibility requirement for their destiny and then begin to put to work what they become. That lives and destinies may be transformed and God might be glorified. When these things begin to happen in your life, then you have actually participated in this conference and there is progress you have made on account of this conference. The question tonight is, what are the light? What does the light of God mean when we say, arise for your light is come? What has God brought into your space? What has God brought into your realm that you need to wake up to? Because by the time you wake up, those are the things you begin to put to work. You don't just wake up into emptiness. You wake up into what light has brought. He said, when you arise, you will notice that your light has come and that the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is where God demonstrates his faithfulness, that he doesn't leave any man without a witness. The moment a man wakes up, there is something he will discover that God has brought to him. And there are special things God gives to specific people, but there are also generic things God gives to everyone. And I will list some of them here tonight and use one as a case study to argue my subject for tonight. There are generic things that every one of us here who has received Christ is already possessed of. And if we will deal with it, interact with it, and explore it, we will discover that our lives will become a wonder to our generation. Everyone has that, those dimensions. Number one is eternal life. The moment you wake up and you encounter the light of Christ, you will notice that Christ will plant a life in your spirit. That life now becomes a capital that he puts in your spirit to trade with. And then you'll become whatever you want to be. Our father here, who is doing very well in business, he didn't start with what he has today. There was a capital that was given to him. He is here today because he traded with that capital. That's what eternal life is. When a man wakes up and encounters Jesus, Jesus puts a capital in his spirit. And that capital is called eternal life. And the goal of eternal life is to bring you to the God class. Because every species has a life. And the potential of a species is tied to the quality of life that species possesses. The most intelligent baboon is dull when it comes among 5-year-old children. The most experienced horse is dull when it comes among 7-year-old children. Because life automatically places you in a class that puts superiority or inferiority on you. If you find a baboon that can dress and brush, you will say, this is an intelligent baboon. If you see a baboon washing plates, you will marvel at the intelligence of that baboon. But a child of 2 years can brush. A child of 2 years can wash plates. What is the difference? The difference is not the experience. It's the quality of life. It's the class of life. And so when God gave us his life, what God did was to bring us to his realm. So we don't just function as humans, but we function as a species that operates from the realm of God. This is why Jesus said in John 14 verse 12, he said, the works that I do, you shall do also. If you are not in the God class, that would have been a setup. Because what Jesus was doing was not what normal men could do. It was something he did because he was divine. He said, the works that I do, he said, you shall do also. And he said, greater works than this shall ye do. Because he has brought you to his own class. And so when you find a man lay hands on the sick and the sick recover, you are not surprised. Rather, you give glory to God. Because you know that there is something divine that has come into that man. It's on the strength of that divine ability that healing is taking place. The second thing God put in us that gives us the capacity to walk like him, which is also what we wake up to when we rise, is an anointing. The moment you receive the Holy Spirit, there was an ability of God that came upon you. Just as eternal life is an attempt to bring you into God class, an anointing is an ability of God that empowers you to witness unto him. So everything God gives you has a purpose. His life brings you to his class. So when you come to pray and the Holy Ghost shows up, it's not a surprise. You are in the God class, so you can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If a baboon is praying, the Holy Ghost can't come if he understands how to pray. Because there's no basis of fellowship. All of us seated here now, you will think you are seated here because you are wearing a suit. No, sir. You are not seated here because you are wearing a suit. You are seated here because you are human. If you give a dog a suit, he can't sit here. So it's not a suit that put you here. It's the class of life that put you here. So eternal life makes us have a stake in the realm of God. And so a man can be praying, God can come to him. And if God doesn't come to him, he can go to God. Because now he has a stake in the realm of God. That's why prayer is about God descending or about you ascending.
One way or the other, something movement must happen. When you are praying, it's either God descends or you ascend. If God is not coming, you go. It is not possible for any other species except those of us that have his life. We now operate in his class. The reason you can make demands from the realm of God is because you have a stake there. And in God's benevolence, he decided to give you his life so that you can participate in his economy. And then he now gave you his anointing. His anointing is what makes it possible for you to go out and prove him. To go out and be a witness to him. So everything we do that reflects God is because there's an ability he has put on us to be able to represent him. If that ability is not given to you, you cannot. There is a new government in Nigeria now. Many persons are visiting the villa. The reason they are visiting the villa is because they are looking for a presidential anointing. You know what a presidential anointing is? It's an appointment. If the president says, you are now Minister of Finance, anything that has to do with finance, you now have the authority to represent the president. If you talk, your words become law in the financial corridor. If the president says, you represent me in petroleum, anything you say in that realm becomes a law. So that appointment gives you an empowerment to be able to represent the president in that corridor. So when God gave us the anointing, it's not oil. The anointing is an ability to represent God on earth. So anywhere people are looking for God on earth, you don't point to heaven. You say, look here. You see, many have not woken up to this reality. So they are still religious. When you are talking about God, they are telling you about history. A generation is not looking for history. They are looking for men who carry God. John was speaking in 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. He said, that's what we have brought to you. So now we are not telling you about the God of Abraham. We are not telling you about the God of Isaac. Yes, there was a God like that, and there is still a God like that. But we are telling you that that God of Abraham you heard of, we came with him. That Christ that is the same yesterday, even today, he's still alive. We are not telling you about the God that healed in Azusa Revival. We are not telling you about the God that parted the Red Sea. We are not telling you about the God that healed 10,000 people yesterday. We are saying even now he's still healing. Because we came with him. The reason you can represent God is because there's an ability on your life. And this is not just for church. When you go into the business world, you don't go into the business world as a normal person. You go into the business world as an envoy of the kingdom. You go into the business world as an ambassador of a realm. And so when others are failing, you pray for them. Because the one you are representing cannot fail. So for you now, failure is not a prayer point. Failure does not exist in the realm where you come from. For you now, victory, success is natural to you. And so when you come to a place and they say, we are hoping two people will succeed. You already know one. I am trying to paint a picture to you so you know what it means to arise. So you don't just think it's another religious cliche we are trying to define because we have a conference. I'm trying to tell you that when you arise, if you go into your world, everything God would have done, if he was there bodily, that's what you do. And so the reason you succeed is because there's an ability on your inside. The reason you win is because there's an ability on your inside. The reason you dominate is because there's an ability on your inside. So when you show up, God shows up. When you appear, God appears. And the moment God appears, God begins to function in his order. And so your operation ceases to be defined according to your bloodline. Your great-grandfather may be a failure. Your father may be a failure, but you now come from another lineage. You come with another ability. And so you are not saying, oh, this is what happened to my grandfather. This is what happened to my great-grandfather. This is what happened to my father. So I'm not surprised it's happening to me. No, not me. I don't know the anointing my father carried. I don't know the anointing my grandfather carried. But when I show up, I come with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't come to represent my grandfather. I came to represent the God of heaven. And so only results that can define God can be attached to me. You see why mediocrity will die? Because in Africa here particularly, people think humility is timidity. They've not discovered themselves in God. So they allow their experiences and their deficiencies to define them, and they think they are being humble. No, that's not humility. Even the people in the world are doing better. I looked at the scene recently and I saw some young musicians who are just making sounds. Sounds that make no sense. Sounds that don't transform. Just shouting and making nonsense sound. You hear they are in France, stadium packed out. They are in England, stadium packed out. They are in Amsterdam, stadium packed out. And you who carry eternal life, you say God is helping us. We are still gathering 25 people here. We know that God is good. There is no glory in your smallness. I'm not saying undermine the days of little beginning, but I'm saying don't define yourself by your human limitation. Define yourself by what God says you are. You have an ability that is divine, and so your results must be commensurate to divine standards and divine propensity. If Jesus came to worry, will worry not shut down? If you represent Jesus, why has the city not yet shut down? It means you don't know what you carry. When a generation arises, the city will evaporate. The Bible says Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. It's not a hall that shook. It's not part of the city that shook. He said the whole city was full of joy because a man who knew the ability he carried came to town. There's an ability that we carry. The third ability God has given us is His faith. His faith. His faith. Listen, oh dear Lord. There are many things to talk about. Maybe I just dwell on faith a little and try to drive home my point. You see, when you begin to study the subject of faith, you are going to discover two things. Number one, the operations of faith. And number two, the dimensions of faith you must manifest in the last day. And that's where I really want to zero in on this point and this emphasis. There are two major operations of faith in the Bible. The first operation of faith is the operation that Abraham pioneered. The second operation of faith is the operation that Christ brought. If you look at Romans chapter 4 from verse 1, Paul began to teach us. And Paul is a wise master builder. He's like a spiritual archaeologist. He explores the depths of the spirit and it brings out things that have never been known by the help of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul began to share with us. And this is what Paul said. He said, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? What shall we say he has found? He went further to verse 2. He said, for if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. That means if Abraham's works were the things that justified him, he would have gloried in himself. But he can't do that before God because God didn't justify him by works. Go further. Verse 3. He said, for what saith the scripture? He said, Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. So the way Abraham got results was to leave the problem and trust in God. And then God will now come and attend to the problem, and Abraham will enjoy the result. That technology, nobody knew it before. When men have problems, they use their physical abilities. And men were defeated. When Abraham came on the scene, he now discovered that most of the problems men are facing, they are rooted in the spirit. And so you need to fraternize with another spirit to come fight on your account. So when Abraham had a challenge, he didn't face his problem. Abraham's problem is here. He is facing God here. And then you are looking at Abraham. You say, that's where your problem is. Where are you going to? He's operating by superior intelligence. When he encounters God and entreats God, God will now go and deal with his problem. And his answer will meet him here. So Abraham gets his answer in God's presence. He doesn't get his answer where the problem is. He leaves the problem, goes to God. God goes to the problem. His answer comes to him. And when Paul saw it, Paul said, this is a technology. And he said, this technology is called faith. And Abraham pioneered it. In fact, in verse 18, he said, when Abraham was desperately looking for a child, he said, who against hope believed in hope that he shall be called the father of many nations. And he said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You would think Abraham would be seeing a doctor and say, what do we do? Do we do a scan? Do we do this? Do we do that? He left his problem. He believed God. He gave thanks to God. He was strong in faith. He was focusing on the promises of God. When his faith touched God, God touched the problem, the answer met him. That's the first technology of faith that was pioneered. And then Jesus shows up. And Jesus said, that is good, but that's kindergarten. He said, what Abraham did, what the patriarchs of old did, he said, that is good, but that is what? Kindergarten. Now, before I show you what Jesus did, let me show you some of the things that was considered kindergarten. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. The Bible began to chronicle the exploit of these men who were operating by the Abrahamic order of faith. He said, what shall I more say? He said, for time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith, this Abrahamic faith, he said, they subdued kingdoms. He said, they wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. Are you seeing that? He said they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. And they waxed valiant in fight and turned to flight the armies of the alien. This is the massive result they commanded by walking this faith. But Jesus came and said, this is beautiful, but there's a superior level. And so when Jesus was teaching faith, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, he didn't say trust in God. He said have the God kind of faith. You know, when the Bible scholars were translating it, they say have faith in God because they didn't understand this. The original script, they don't say have faith in God. The original script say have the God kind of faith. In the Abrahamic order, you trust God and wait until God answers. But there is a new technology. Where God is not waiting for you to call on him anymore. What God would have used to create the answer, God now puts it in your spirit and say, you become the answer. You see what the Bible says in verse 23. It says, if there's a mountain before you, don't behave like Abraham. Don't go and ask God and wait for God to remove the mountain. He says, if there's a mountain before you, put yourself together. Go to the mountain. Confront the mountain. And say, you mountain, be thou removed. And he said, if you do not doubt in your heart, he said, whatsoever you say, you shall have. You know what that means? That means when you want to see God, see men of faith at work. You begin to see God in the lives of men. One is you look on God, he responds. Another, carry God there. Carry God's ability there. And so when you talk, you are talking like God. You are standing in the place of God. He said you build God on your inside until when you appear, you and God becomes one. That's where Paul got to. And Paul said, be ye followers of me as I'm the follower of Christ. It means if you have seen me, you have seen Christ. And even demons were aware of it. They said, Jesus, we know. They say, Paul, we know. Because what God wants to achieve now is not just the people who are kneeling down and say, oh God, answer by fire. It's not just the people who are kneeling down and say, oh God, show up. No, it's the people who wake up and say, we carry God on our inside. We carry his DNA. When we show up, God show up. When we speak, God speak. When we act, God act. When we function, God functions. You know the difference? In the Abrahamic order, if 1 million of them are moving, they will still be waiting for God to appear. But in the God kind of faith, if 3 of them are moving, you are seeing 3 dimensions of God. If 10 of them are moving, you are seeing 10 dimensions of God. If 30 of them are moving, you are seeing 30 dimensions of God. So when we sit in church like this, we are not church members. We are custodians of dimensions. When we sit in church like this, we become like a legislative assembly. And so you can look at the left and say, these ones, when they talk, money appears. You see these ones on the right, you say, when they talk, cripples walk. You see this one on the right, on the back, you say, when they talk, gates open. And so the church becomes indeed the body of Christ, the body. So when we gather, Christ appears. When we gather, you see the image of God. Because we are no longer calling on God to show up from heaven. When we gather, we form God. When we gather, God appears. When we gather, we reveal God. That's why Luke 10:16, he said, if they hear me, if they hear you, they hear me. When you talk, God talks. When you speak, God speaks. When you step out, God steps up. When I started traveling ministry, they told me some territories are hard. You have to be careful. There are some places you go to, demons will embarrass you. I say, really? They say, if you go to some places and you pray, heaven will be closed. You will need to pray and fast for heaven to open. I say, really? Well, then I don't need open heaven. Because when I come, I am God manifested in bodily form. When I come, heaven comes. When I come, the presence of God comes. When I come, the power of God comes. When I come, I am the revelation of the open heaven. Because heaven is not a place. Heaven is where God is. And if God dwells here, when I show up, a dimension of heaven shows up. So I'm not looking for a heaven to open. When I come, I open the heavens. Awake, thou that sleepeth. And he said what? Christ will give you light. Your manifestation is at the mercy of the light you carry. They told us stories of Benson Idahosa. He comes for a crusade. He tells Benihim, go and pray for the sick. And Benihim says, I'm waiting for the anointing. And it's beautiful. Trust me, we will never outgrow depending on God. Make no mistakes about it. Because until we live here, we'll still be learning this thing. You know how this thing works? If you try it and it doesn't work, then you go back to the Abrahamic order and say, Lord, help. And God will show up, answer, and say, go again. So we will never outgrow trusting God, calling on God. And that's why till tomorrow, the church is still calling on God. But while we are calling on God, we are growing in God. We are maturing in God. We are revealing God. We are manifesting God. And Benihim said, I'm waiting for the anointing. The anointing is not yet moving. And Bethel the house, I say, watch me. If God doesn't move you, move him. If the anointing is not moving, move the anointing. And then you think it's a mantle of Benson Idahosa. It's not a mantle of Benson Idahosa. It's a revelation of Benson Idahosa. Because everyone sitting here, you have the faith of the Son of God. And when you act, God acts. When you speak, God speaks. When you move, God moves. They asked the man, what is the revelation of revival? He said, revival is when I move. Because when I move, God is moving. Because you can wait for heaven to open, for there to be an outpouring. That's the dimension of revival. But there's another dimension of revival. There's a dimension of revival where one man becomes the host of heaven. If he's moving, God is moving. If a Rehabonke enters a city and the whole city shuts down, which rain are you waiting for? Which outpouring are you waiting for? He is the outpouring. When he shows up, heaven moves. It's an envoy. And there are certain men that if they pass through your city for the next 100 years, the impact will be there. Somebody said D.L. Moody was in a train and the train was passing through a city and D.L. Moody stepped down just to look around and people started falling under the anointing. No service, no prayer, no prophecy. And they said, what is happening here? And one man said, I know one person who anytime is around, these things happen. He said, his name is the Almighty. And not too long, they turned and they saw him. If he passes here, the Holy Ghost begins to move. Because he has embodied him so much. We read the story of John G. Lake. They said, there is a plague. People are praying for God to intervene. He entered the camp and said, when I come, I am God's intervention. We are those who are afflicted. Touch them and the plague ends. You don't need to wait for God to come. When I come, God comes. And they thought it was a fluke. Put the plague in my hand. And the virus died. Because he has a revelation. Imagine what will happen if the church in Warri wakes up to this reality. And 10,000 of us stand up and we enter anywhere and God shows up. The outpouring would have begun.
You know what he said? He said the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. What do you think is that glory? It is men who have risen in revelation. Men who have risen in understanding. Everywhere we go, we bring the glory. We bring the presence. We bring the power. It is called the faith of the Son of God. But the church is asleep. We can't know this. You know why we can't know this? Because this kind of faith has a protocol. It has a protocol. And until a generation understands that protocol, they will not walk in it. It's not a wishful talk. It's not an excited talking. No. It's a reality that has a very rigid government in the spirit. If a generation wants to see this, they must pay the price and perfect the consecration requirement for this kind of faith to work. You know, Jesus was speaking in Luke 18 verse 8. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he still find faith on earth? Because this dimension, the devil will fight it. Because not many will walk in it. Imagine what will happen. And they say, an apostle entered Warri. And he just spent 24 hours. And all the beer parlors shut down. Because of the glory he came with. If three of such apostles come, you won't need two conferences in Warri. One conference will be enough for 5 years. If three of such men come. Now imagine what happens if a church becomes like that. If we come for Sunday service, after praise and worship, everybody is charged. When we enter the city, they will tell you, five brethren came to this area. And since they came, they have been speaking in tongues from morning till night. Because they came with something that is as weighty as the heaven itself. When the Bible said arise, it's because we have not yet met the standard of God. If we walk in one of these things, our world will be too small. One. If we walk in these things, our world will be too small. But we have not arisen. Imagine if 10 people are walking in the faith of the Son of God. One comes, and anybody who dies, he says, wait, I have come. I come with the resurrection power. And he's just strolling around Warri, raising the dead. Before 10 days, a revival will begin. Another one stands up, and he's giving you strategy for wealth creation. He tells you, buy this, buy that. After 2 weeks, the shares jump up, as though he's the one writing the code of the stock market. And then you are wondering, who are these people? That's when you will know that a new generation has been born. Arise does not mean church number increase. Arise means the wonder dimensions of God becomes normal. That a church can become a church of the miraculous. A people can become a people of wonder. Then you will know that they have woken something up that is ancient. Because what you will see will not be the normal things you see in society. And one of those dimensions is the emergence of the faith of the Son of God. The faith that the fathers walked in. That some of them spoke. I read about John Alexander Dowie. He entered the city and he wanted to organize a crusade. They said, sir, we don't need preaching. We have heard a lot of it. We've not had rain here for 8 months. If what you are coming to say is true, do something about weather. And he didn't say, oh Lord, where are you? He looked at the atmosphere and he said, rain, I call you forth. God of mercy. Nobody will tell you. You will know that whatever this man is having is God indeed. He said, rain, come. And while he was yet talking, the weather began to change. The next day, the whole city gathered for the crusade. It's not every crusade you need fire for. There are certain crusades, what you need is power evangelism, power publicity. You will do something, men will be asleep, angels will wake them up and say, it's time for prayer. Arise, shine, your light is come. You are not normal. There's something divine about you. God loves that we trust him and he won't change it. But God also wants to put himself in us so that we manifest it. My son is 1 year, 3 months today. Everything he needs, I give him. If he starts and he calls me, I will slap him. Because he will know what to do to get what I should give him. That's what God wants us to do. That he has put something in us, we cultivate it, we grow it, we mature it until we reveal it to our generation. And I can tell you, the reason we have not seen the God kind of faith in manifestation is because the devil has created a system to short circuit it. This is not zeal. Trust me. And I know many young people are listening. This is not zeal. To stand up and say, what George Lake did, me too, I will do. Carry a virus, you will die. It's not zeal. It's a reality in the spirit. There are protocols you must subject yourself to. Your manifestation is directly proportional to your consecration. If your consecration is 40, forget about the manifestation. It's not to stand up and say, Alexander Dowie called rain, and then you go for crusade. You say, listen, before we start this night, rain will fall. You will be embarrassed from there. There's a consecration that hosts this glory. And there's a program the devil is setting in motion to choke that consecration. For a generation to rise, to manifest the faith of the Son of God, there are 6 consecrations they must keep. And I run through them very quickly in the next 15 minutes. Matthew 24. And I told you, I'm talking about the last day because these things are weapons for the last day. And because the devil also knows, he has created a diffuser for those weapons. The disciples of Jesus came to him and asked him a question. Matthew 24 verse 3. They said, what will be the sign of your coming? He said, tell us, when shall these things be? And when shall be the end of the age? And Jesus began to tell them. Amazingly, Jesus began to tell them the things that will choke their possibilities. And number one, he said, be careful. Go back to verse 23. Verse 3, I beg your pardon. Matthew 24, verse 3. What shall be the sign of the end? And Jesus began. He said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And he said, they shall deceive many. So the first thing that chokes the faith of the Son of God is deception. The reason many cannot manifest is because they are deceived. And I will show you 2 kinds of deception that is currently plaguing our generation. The first deception, like Jesus said, he said they will come in his name. In fact, if you go to verse 6, he said many false Christ shall come. Christ is Messiah. It means Savior. Many things will appear to be the Savior of men. Is because men will now put their trust in those things. That's why they can no longer manifest God. And some of those things are things that you consider to be legitimate and vital. Yet, at the end of it, the devil will exploit it. Can I shock you? As good as medical science is, it will become a weapon the Antichrist will use in the last day. Because a day will come when the totality of the trust of men will be in medical science. And then the devil will hijack that corridor. At first they tell you, when you have pain, take paracetamol. Pain reliever is good. And so when you have pain, you no longer remember to exercise your faith. There was something God put in you that has the capacity to stop pain. But you grew up, you were mentored to believe and to rely in paracetamol. So much so that the moment they call pain, the first thing you think of is paracetamol. At that level, there's nothing wrong with it. But imagine what your life would have been like if you didn't know it. If all you have were verses of scripture. By now, you would have been like a god in the world of sickness. John Gilles said something. He said, the reason we receive forgiveness easy, but we don't receive healing simple, is because when it comes to forgiveness, we know only God will forgive. But when it comes to healing, we have many alternatives. And so because we have many alternatives, it has become difficult for us to trust one. And in the last day, hear what will happen. They will build and capitalize on your trust in medicine and turn it to your God. Currently, as we speak, there are inventions, policies, and structures put in place to upgrade humanity. They tell you they can manipulate your gene through genetic engineering, and your children will no longer have cancer, they can't fall sick, and their mental propensity and everything will be heightened. They will even have the tendency of living longer. Meanwhile, there are many scriptures that reveal the possibility of living above sickness. There are many scriptures that reveal the possibility of living long. And there is a protocol for achieving it. But a generation will soon forget all of those scriptures. And what they will go for is genetic engineering. And you will think it is still harmless until a point comes. They now tell you what we are doing now is to encode AI chip into your brain to control how you think. And you won't know where the devil is going to. Where the devil is going to is to make your conscience invalid, so that your soul can no longer connect to God. Because if you are regulated by a machine, the machine is what determines your moral values. A point will come, the machine will tell you having sex every week is exercise and is healthy. But it won't tell you that it is only possible in the context of marriage. It will remove the moral aspect, and a generation will become callous and absolutely deluded. So this is what Jesus called deception. In the Western world today, people are agitating and fighting. What is the campaign? Men should love men. Men should marry men. Women should love women. Women should marry men. And even church organizations that have existed for centuries are endorsing it. And then you are asking what is happening. It is called deception. When deception takes the center stage, faith will die. This is why a generation cannot manifest the faith of the Son of God. An evangelist was asked. He carried out evangelical campaign in Africa and carried out evangelical campaign in the United States. And they asked him, of the whole territories he went to, where is the easiest place for healing to manifest? He says, Africa. And they say, why? They say, well, they don't have advanced medical facilities, so they trust God. So they trust God. But a day is coming when we will have many gods. Some will be medicine. Some will be government. Ask those who are in the economic corridor, they will tell you of the new policies coming around the world economy. The devil wants to take control. They make you feel that depending on these policies they are bringing is the best of ideas. And the day will come, because they determine how the economic system is run, they dictate for you what to do. The faith of the Son of God grows when we depend on God and God only. I'm not saying anything is wrong with medical science, but I'm saying you need to know the boundary. Because if you can't trust God for headache, don't think you can trust God for cancer. If you cannot trust God for fever, don't think you can trust God when cancer shows up. And so ask people who manifest this faith, they will tell you they made a resolve. They told themselves, we will trust God, we will depend on God, and we will exercise our faith only. Not too long, something breaks out of their life. I have read books and I have followed men that shook this world. I know how they walk these things. If there is a compromise, if there is a plan B, you will never manifest the faith of the Son of God. And the first thing deception comes to do is to make you to trust other things apart from God. It's called deception. The second thing the devil will bring to kill this order of faith is in the next two scriptures. Matthew 24, verse 7. Quickly, let's run. I'm running out of time. He said, for nations shall rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, and there shall be pestilence, and there shall be earthquakes. Go further. He said, all these things, they are the beginning of sorrows. Sorrow is coming. Pains, pestilence, famine is coming. Thank God for the windows He creates through prayer, through prophecy. But the world generally is heading towards the end.
And the only thing that will preserve you is the power that you have built through faith. It says rumors of war, pestilence, famine, sorrow of all sorts. And the devil will deliberately orchestrate this to create the second system that weakens faith. It's called fear. And so you will find many people, their faith will be paralyzed because of the things they are hearing. Any news platform you turn to, you hear a negative story. In fact, in our world today, negative news trends. If you want trend, just get a negative news. No matter how powerful a positive news is, it will never go viral. It's only negative news that goes viral because demons are fertilizing it to create fear in the heart of men. And so a man who wants to manifest the faith of the Son of God, he must create an insurance system around his soul. Don't know too much to fear. Some people know too much and that's why they are afraid. They tell them unverified stories, they accept it and they propagate it. Hope you know that some people think if you enter Nigeria and walk for 5 minutes, you are either kidnapped or a bomb will fall on you or you will be shot dead. So they are wondering, how are we living in Nigeria? How are we surviving here? Before they come to Nigeria, they are already dying. Meanwhile, we are here. We know things are happening, but we are here. Our God is our protector. His name is called Ebenezer. All of us have not died. But you see, those outside, they think Nigeria is a grave. And that's how it is with many aspects of life. The devil will create structures to paralyze people. And it's in everything. Ask most people who are in school today. They already know that when they graduate, the first 6 years, there will be no job. They already know. So they are not even trying to exercise their faith. They know. Then what is the place of divine speed? What is the place of divine favor? What is the place of time and chance happening to them all? But if you adopt fear, you paralyze your faith. If you adopt fear, you weaken the potential of your faith. So a man who wants to manifest the faith of the Son of God must know what to do to remove fear from his life. Remove fear. And the quickest way to remove fear is not to expose yourself to negative news. Expose yourself to the good news, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you saturate yourself with the word, even if there is problem, you will tell yourself, my story is different. When I come there, the protocols will change. Ask those who are making impact. That's their mentality. Where do you think you will go to and there will be no opposition? The reason you will go and succeed is because you refuse fear from paralyzing you. Ask those who are in business today, they will tell you. They will tell you thousands of people who tried and failed. If you adopt that position, you are gone. The reason you will come out is not because you will overcome the challenge. It's because you will overcome the fear. They tell you, of the 10 people that had cancer, 9 of them died. And the moment they came to stage 2, it was over. It's not true. It's not true. It's not everybody who had cancer died. There were many who defeated cancer. There were many who came out of it. So you will not overcome cancer until you overcome fear. And what the devil will do is to paralyze you with fear. And so the reason a generation cannot manifest the faith of the Son of God is because they have allowed fear to inundate them. There are many ladies who are not married and they tell them, you are 33? May God have mercy. 33? Marriage is not a function of age, it's a function of favor. It has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with favor. Some people have the best marriages at 37. Some at 38. Some at 40. But if you allow fear enter you, you will be shocked that you will move from 32 to 33 to 34 to 35 to 36. And you will die of depression. You may even commit suicide. I'm not saying you should marry late. But what I'm saying is, wherever you are, when God comes for you, it can be glorious. Never allow fear to dominate you. It's a strategy of the devil to stop a generation from walking in faith. What do you call a testimony? A testimony is not what you got easy. A testimony is a challenge you overcame. And so many people you see testifying every day. They are testifying every day because they are fighting battles every day. It's because they are overcoming. That's why they are having testimonies.
And the reason they are overcoming is because they made up their mind that they are more than conquerors. They made up their mind that they will not die in that pit. They made up their mind for themselves. Their own story is different. That's how they came out. If you allow fear, you will immobilize the forces of faith. So if you arise to the ability of God in you, you must understand the protocol that works it. Number three, go to that same scripture. This is Jesus giving us a narrative of how divine possibilities will vanish from the face of the earth. Because the people and the church he came to raise is a church that manifests God. But Jesus is telling us in the last day, this church that should manifest God can become so godless and it will look as if even the story of God was a lie. And this is the protocol from deception to fear. And then from fear, he went to the third. Quickly. Verse 8. It said, all these are the beginning of sorrow. Verse 9. He said, and they shall deliver you to be afflicted. I said, they shall kill you and they shall hate you of all nations for my name's sake. The third thing the devil will use is affliction. And so a man who will manifest the faith of the Son of God must learn how to endure affliction. He wrote to Timothy, he said, endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. If you are part of those who give up easily, you can never manifest God's potential in your life. If you are part of those who give up easily, you can never become a wonder to your generation. Jesus is the one teaching here. He said, many, because of the affliction, he said they will give up. But the Bible teaches, he said, to glory in your tribulation. James chapter 1 verse 2, he said, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulation. If you are cultivating faith, everything the devil throws at you, you will call it a school. It's an opportunity for you to perfect it. You will try it. It doesn't work. You'll try again. There's nothing like giving up in the college of faith. If it doesn't work now, it will work again. And you will do it and do it and do it and do it until it starts working. When I started going out to pray for the sick, when I come for a meeting and I see 10 people, I say, oh God of mercy. Are there sick people here? If they are, maybe it's only one. And if I pray and this one is not healed, I'm finished. And most times I will pray. I will say, if you are healed, stand up. Nobody. God told me there will be healing today. If you are healed, stand up. Nobody. You will do it like 4, 5, 6 meetings. But you will still keep at it. Sometimes your friends will even come and say, come on, this is your healing ministry. This is your healing ministry. You sure say you're not going to leave him? But you tell yourself, for every affliction, there is a testimony of result ahead. For every disappointment, there is an appointment within. And so you will not give up. You will keep pushing. You will keep pushing. You will keep pushing. And a day will come, you will break the lead. You can't endure affliction, you can't manifest God. You can't endure affliction, you can't manifest the faith of the Son of God. And many are asleep. Many are weak. Many are in the state of slumber. Not because they didn't try, but because they gave up before their time. They gave up before the time of manifestation. I'm telling you, there are many business giants today who left the business world because they could not endure affliction. There are many great prophets today who are no longer preaching because they gave up. You went, they shut the door. You went, they shut another door. You went, they shut another door. And you said, this thing is not for me. Ask those who are doing it. If they denied you the opportunity 10 times, those who are making it probably were denied 50 times. The reason they are making it is not because they are better. It's because they refuse to give up. And so for you to manifest the faith of the Son of God, you must have a thick skin. You must endure disappointment. You must endure affliction. You must endure shame. You must endure pain. You must endure whatever the devil throw at you. You tell yourself, it's not working today. I'm still learning something. By the time I finish learning what I'm learning, it must work. And it definitely will work. I'm telling you why many are asleep. Some people are not asleep because they are lazy. They are asleep because they didn't have tenacity in their spirit. They are asleep because they gave up too early. And if you want to revive them, it may take a lifetime. They tell you, my brother, relax. I've tried it too. That thing you are saying, I've tried it. And trust me, they have tried many things. It didn't work. But the question is, when you withdrew, did it become better? He said, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we continue to the saving of the soul. And so if the devil wants, he should put 1,000 disappointments. Even failure is a credential. Ask those who are champions, they will tell you. Sometimes you learn more from failure than you learn from the university. Even failure is a credential. There may be areas in your life where you have not failed. Thank God. Even the areas you fail, thank God. Sometimes the areas where you didn't fail are the areas where you remain a novice. Affliction is part of faith. Disappointment is part of faith. Sorrow is part of faith. And so when it's happening, don't go and start crying and say, God, why me? Don't go and weep and say, oh Lord, why me? Remember, you are dealing with the faith of the Son of God. Many people go and lie down. They are seeking sympathy. They are telling people so that people will say, hey, yeah, sorry. And then sometimes they even call a friend to call them. And then when friends are calling them, they now come online and say, thank you so much for showing me love. I really appreciate it. And they remain lukewarm. Sympathy takes you nowhere. When the devil hits you down, tell yourself, the righteous man may fall 7 times, but 7 times he shall rise again. Champions don't seek sympathy. Champions keep fighting until they get the results. Jesus said, affliction will come, but it's a raw material for growing your faith. Number 4, go further. I'm showing you what a generation that is awake and arisen does. If you don't want to be a mediocre all your life, I beg you, pay attention to these things. Refuse to be deceived. Build discernment into your faith. Refuse to give up. Build stamina into your faith. You will need it for the last day. Number 4. Look at verse 10 quickly. He said, many shall be offended. Many shall be betrayed. Or many shall betray one another. The 4th thing that you must fight in order to keep that faith alive is offense. I can tell you why many can't manifest God. It's offense. And you think this is something you will never graduate from. You say you are a pastor. When you are learning and growing, people will undermine you. People will write you off. You'll be offended. When you now grow and you think you have come into rest, that's where you'll see betrayal. You'll see envy. You'll see jealousy. You'll see witchcraft. You'll see backbiting. If you allow your heart to be corrupt, life will stop flowing. And so the reason many don't manifest the faith that makes them stars in their generation is because of offense. Listen, if you want to grow God in you, forget what the devil and men are doing. I'm telling you why many are not powerful. I'm telling you why many are asleep. Some people left ministry out of offense. Some left business out of offense. Some left leadership out of offense. And the devil knows. He will gather 2-3 people. They will gossip you. They will talk about it. You will go home. You will lie on your bed. You roll to the left. You roll to the right. It doesn't mean anything. You know what you do if you want to grow God? Tell yourself, they should keep talking. The more they talk, the more I'm charged. The more they talk, the more I'm motivated. Nobody and nothing can get me offended. If you think you get me offended out of this ministry, you are a joker. Keep talking and watch me make impact. They go and stand up. They say, look at you, you are proud. Look at you, you are ambitious. Look at you, you are arrogant. Keep talking. Because you want to talk, I'll give you many things to talk about. And so when you talk, sometimes I will deliberately come and give you another assignment. What you don't know is that while you are yet talking, those you are talking about are going forward. They are going forward. Go and check. Those who talk about people go nowhere. They talk and remain there and talk and
and talk and talk until 10 years later, the people they are gossiping, when they are passing, they bend down and greet them because levels have changed. It has changed. Ask those making impact, they will tell you. Sir Prosper, the first time you organized your concert, did your friends not say you are ambitious? Did they not look at you and say, what is he feeling like? He thinks he's better than us. Where are they today? When you talk against people, you talk yourself down. But when you focus on your destiny and you don't care about what men are saying, when they speak, you say, throw your best shot. Nothing can pull me down. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He said, if we are born of God, you have overcome the world. I know those are the elements of the world system. So I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Let me tell you, anybody who means you well of you will call you in love and advise you. Anybody who chooses to go talk behind you, he just wasted his time. The more he talks, the more you make impact. The more you talk, the more they make impact. And a point will come, God will allow them to be alive to see what he will do with your life, to humble them. Somebody's life will humble somebody. Never allow offense come. If you want this your faith to work, when people talk against you, go back to the place of prayer. If you are hot, don't keep quiet. If it hurts you, go back to the place of prayer and begin to pray in tongues. Kakota raka, zekaparas, rakapata, papara, tarakata, amzaza. As you are praying, a point will come, the presence of God will descend and it will heal you. If that doesn't happen, go and carry scriptures. Don't allow anything take root in your heart. It will create bitterness. And when bitterness comes, you can't express faith. That's why our messages today are not powerful, sir. Somebody comes, he says he's preaching against immorality. It's a lie. He's trying to use that message to attack somebody else. And God knows, and demons know, that this is not a revelation. Somebody comes, he says he's speaking against prosperity teachers. It's a lie. He saw somebody that he hates, who is doing something well around prosperity. So he's trying to use the altar to attack it so that people will know and avoid that person. And God knows it's a lie. Somebody writes this up. He says he's talking against false apostles. It's a lie. He's trying to attack an apostle. He doesn't know how to call his name. So he comes to the altar, generalized apostles. And when he's talking, you will know who he's talking to. And at the end of the day, it's not a revelation. And so when demons see, they know we are jokers. That's why we are not powerful. We talk, nothing happens. In the days of the fathers that were pure at heart, when they talk, princes fall. How can you talk against immorality and it's not affected? How can you talk against false teachers and it's not affected? How can you talk against false doctrine and it's not affected? How can you talk against false ministry and it's not affected? Because it's not from the place of love. It's from the place of offense and bitterness. And if we allow that, we will corrupt our altar. We will sabotage our ranking in the spirit. And the day we come, we will lose the authority to address the generation. When somebody offends you, meet him and iron it out. And when you are done, iron it out, come to the altar with a pure heart and preach what the Holy Ghost puts in your spirit. I'm telling you why a generation is asleep. Why we are preaching and shouting, but nothing is happening. It's from the place of offense. It's from the place of bitterness. And so if we want to arise, we must leave offense behind. If we cannot leave offense behind, we can never rise. Look at the music ministry today. One person organizes a concert. Another person wants to organize a concert to show that it's bigger. And it's not about glorifying God anymore. It's about creating a show. Offense. Bitterness, insecurity, competition, envy. We can't rise like that. We will remain in the place of slumber. Jesus said, none, don't let yourself be offended. Number five. He said, because iniquity shall abound. He said, the love of many shall wax cold. The reason many cannot manifest God is because iniquity. Iniquity has entered the sanctuary. secret sin, secret iniquity, and then we come before God and we say, oh Lord, you have given commandment to demons, and the demons knew what you did behind closed doors. They knew when you changed the figure from 10,000 to 100,000, from 100,000 to 1 million. They knew when you went to the hotel with that harlot, slept with her and came out, nobody saw you, but spirit saw you. He said, you have come before an innumerable company of angels. If we want our faith to work, our faith must be pure. He said, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. He said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have shipwrecked their faith. He said, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. They that bear the vessels of God, they must be holy. There is a credential of purity. There is a credential of holiness for us to manifest the dimensions of God. Jesus was speaking. He said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. Brothers and sisters, conference will not make you to arise. Only living is what will make you arise. Go into the city of worry. There are many liars. There are many swindlers. There are many Yahoo boys. There are many fornicators. You cannot be part of them. Except for in a great house, there are many vessels. He says, some unto honor, some unto dishonor. He says, if a man purges himself, he says, then he is pure. Then he is sanctified. Then he is meet unto the master's use. If you want to represent God in this nation, if you want to represent God in this generation, you cannot have the iniquity of this generation. The Bible said John was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. A generation can mentor you and you address that generation. You don't have the authority. Whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, you say the servant of him you are whom you have obeyed. You cannot bow to iniquity in worry and address the princes of worry. It will be a cliche. It will be religion. The only men who can exercise God and wield authority are those whose garments are pure. Because the oil on the head will work only when the garment is pure. You can't be in the choir fornicating and you think you will sing and the Spirit of God will move. You can't be lying, stealing from church coffers and you think you will prophesy and the territory will fill it. He said, the prince of this world cometh to me. When they come, they are not moved by what you are saying. They are moved by who you are. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door, that the King of glory may come. He said, who is the King of glory? I'm not concerned about the command. I'm concerned about who is commanding. Who is the King of glory? And he said, the Lord strong, mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. When you show up, the demons can ask you, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? If your garment is stained, you have no authority where princes operate. The last protocol is the protocol of action. Action. You cannot see this faith work unless you take action. The Bible said in verse 14, Matthew 24, it said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached as a witness in all nations. There must be action. Because James 2, 19, 20 and 26, he said, thou believest that there's only one God. He said, thou doest well. He said, the devil also believes and trembles. He said, oh ye vain man, faith without works is dead. In verse 26, he said, as the body without the spirit is dead, he said, so also faith without works is dead. You cannot say you want to manifest God and you have not taken any action. You say, God has given you a scepter in the economic corridor. Show me the businesses you have started. Show me the places you have served. Show me the initiatives you have brought on the scene. You say, God has raised you as a mighty prophet and revivalist. Show me how many streets you have gone to for soul winning before you think of the mega crusades. You say, God has brought you into government, giving you the scepter of governmental leadership. Show me how many people you have led and inspired. If you don't have a track record of service and action, forget it. You can never see the power of God at work. People are doing nothing, yet they are expecting that they will manifest the power of God. That is a deception and a colossal one at that point. You are here listening to me. There's a grace on your life to start a bank. But I tell you, you may need to say, it's water first, pure water first. Because there is so much you need to do so that there will be opportunity for God to test faithfulness. You must study, you must learn, and you must serve under someone who is running that institution first. Because if your loyalty and faithfulness is not tested, God can't risk authority with you. You have a great ministry. God wants to send you to the nations of the world. How many streets have you gone to in Warri? I served in this city for 6 months. But I can tell you, more than 10 years ago, I've won more souls than some people who are living in Warri for the past 20 years. We have labored in this land, sir. I was in a Furum barracks for 6 months. I will go under a palm bridge, win souls there, sit down, drink pure water, sweat out, and sometimes straight towards a palm, straight towards the barrack from that bridge, because we went to win souls. When God sent me to this city in just 6 months, I proved to him that I was interested in winning souls. And so he can bring me back again. If you don't take action, forget it. We have a generation full of loftiness and pride. You see young men who should go and serve people and learn experience. They are wearing suits and calling themselves CEO without experience, without wisdom, without capacity. You see young people who should still be going on the street winning souls. They are wearing suits, calling themselves bishops, apostles and prophets when they have no labor on ground. And they are hoping that when they talk, demons will scream. What demon is that? You start from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria before you get to the uttermost part of the earth. If you want the dimensions of God to work in you, you must take action, and you must take action from where you are. Rise up and lift your hands to whatever. Now hear this. We are out of time. I came here for two things. When I'm done with my message, I will ask God to baptize someone with hunger for something supernatural. You know, the way it works is when you start taking actions, then God confirms the action with signs and wonders. The Bible said Jesus speaking to them, and he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He said, "In my name shall they cast out devils." Mark 16:15-18. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick. The sick shall recover. If they walk upon serpents and scorpions, they shall not hurt them. None of these things happen. Until verse 20. The Bible said, "And they went out." And he said, "And the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonder." If you don't go out, there will be no confirmation. There will be no signs. There will be no wonders. And so my first desire tonight is for God to baptize someone with hunger. Hunger for something divine and something supernatural. You have lived like an ordinary man for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years, for 50 years. This is that night when you say enough is enough. There must be an awakening. There must be a resurrection into the realms of God. I refuse to be ordinary. I've come to see that this thing has no regard for age. It has no regard for gender. It has no regard for complexion. It has regard for what you carry. And tonight you are going to cry desperately, "Father, put something on my life. Put something on my life. If something doesn't rest, may this conference never end." If you are in that category, pray now. Before I give a commandment, wherever you are hearing from, you may be in this hall, you may be in the overflow, you may be online, wherever you are, the everlasting arm of God can reach out to you. Father, touch me tonight with hunger. Activate something in my spirit. Passion, passion, passion. Takapo rakayas. Zegededanash. Baragata sabatalish. Aliya. Are you praying like someone who desires something from God? Manta pare para kida para gata. Dele kabondo roboroka. La farana santa barisga. Zekero da baradina zataba. Adilo baranda zuza da baradina zakate. Lift your hands toward heaven. Please hear me. Refuse to be ordinary. Life can be frustrating for an ordinary man. If something comes on you and you handle it, you know. This is not emotion. This is not a charade. You know. When you have it, I told you the proof will show. And one of the ways is that it will produce followership. There are men here that need a grace to dominate the economic world. There are men here that need a grace to dominate the corridor of ministry. There are people here that need grace to dominate the academia. Because you were born for this purpose. But there has to be a day when that activation comes. Lift your hands toward heaven. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of the living God. Tell the Lord, I'm working something in my spirit tonight. Let my dimensions wake up tonight. Something must break out of me tonight. Are you praying? Are you praying? What God wants to do tonight is for those who are desperate for an encounter. Desperate for an encounter. Desperate for an encounter. Let that river break out of you. Let that water break out of you. Let that ocean break out of you. Maro Paragata. Sabena Rabina Kabash. You cannot be the same. This is not the era of drawing with a cup. It's the out of their belly shall flow. Rivers. 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 Rivers of living waters. Let that river break for tonight. Akobarata. Ah. The desperate, the fire is already coming. Another command. beginning to break out.
He begins to bring everything to
the ground. The
like a river falling on me right now.
The fire of God is about to break out of this place. Many rivers. He didn't say one. He didn't say two. He called it rivers of living waters. You can carry many dimensions at the same time. Ushers, you will help me now. The first 24 people that comes under the power, bring them here. I want to lay hands on them. There is an awakening about to take place. All around this place, everything planted in your spirit that is divine, by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Holy Ghost, on ground, on gall, on the gallery, every dimension of God locked up in your spirit. Now, by the Spirit, I call it forth. I call it forth. I call it forth. I call it forth. Rivers. 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 Maroblaketama. People with prophetic dimensions. People with economic mantles. People with governmental mantles. Academic mantles. Merone parina kaya. Avela paranda sozak. Aroma neta. The Garanda Sabarina Marandabona Baragaderas. Here, overflow online. Let the fountains break open.
My belly shall flow. Rivers, rivers of living water. E-I-E-I-A.
Lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. Some of you hear this. There are heritages that God planted in your bloodline, and it has been dormant for generations because no man has risen in light to apprehend it. Ancient mantles, ancient dimensions, help him. Ancient graces. Wherever you are, lift your hands toward heaven. You are about to shift from an ordinary man to a man of the Spirit, a man with supernatural dimension. Father, every door locked away, shutting out potentials, shutting out graces, by the Spirit right now, I say, Ephata, open in the name of Jesus. Open in the name of Jesus. Ushers, help them. Ushers, help them. I release that fire. I am working that grace. Beko Baraka, Zavana, Maradina, Baragado, Soravaktava. I'm seeing a rod of fire descending here upon some of you that are called into the ministry, but the door has been shut. The territory has resisted you. There is a mantle coming upon you now to defy the powers of territories, to defy the powers of bloodline. Wherever you are, on ground, on the gallery, by the Spirit, take that fire now. T-
Take that fire. Take that fire. Ushers, please help them. Aroka Pateke Varakata. Zambaranda Sabradiga. Baranda Saparato. Telekapaya. Hear this. I'm seeing an enlargement in the spirit. I'm seeing some of you here, they have hedged you into a cycle. No matter how you try, you can't break out. But suddenly, doors are opening round about you. Doors are opening round about you. Economic doors, global doors, they are opening. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Spirit, by the Spirit, by the Spirit, I release that opportunity now. I release that power now. I release that grace now. And I break limitation. Receive your enlargement. Receive your enlargement. Finally, hear this. We are out of time. The yoke of sickness is breaking now. Some of you are limited by the power of sickness and the oppressions of devils. And so right now, there is a rod of power about to be waved over this auditorium. Everyone under the yoke of infirmity, be it a growth in your body, be it paralysis, be it deafness, be it blindness, be it a blood condition. In the name of Jesus, I command the power of infirmity. Break now. Break now. Break now. Break now. I command the yokes to break in the name of Jesus. I command the chains to break. Ushers, help them. Ushers, help them. Everyone held down by demonic powers, I command their holds broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Diverse healings, diverse miracles, they begin to happen now. Whatever it is you couldn't do before, receive the power to do now. Receive the power to do now. Receive the power to do now. If you couldn't walk, walk. If you couldn't see, see. If you couldn't hear, hear. If there was a growth in your body, it's gone now. I command that healing by the Spirit. Take that impartation. Take that miracle. Take that healing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We are out of time, but hear this. I'm seeing something come on someone like an oil of fire. God is just activating you into a miraculous realm. Things will begin to happen with you by supernatural power. Ushers, the anointing will come upon three of them now. Please get them quickly. It's an oil coming with a flame of fire. It's an oil. I see that vision in the spirit. Take that unction now. Take that unction now. Take that unction now. Take that unction. I'm seeing something happening on this gallery. There is a flame of fire descending upon people. On this gallery, wherever you are, your hunger has attracted it. Take that fire. Take that fire.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. A door has just opened for someone. A door has just opened for someone. You have been shut out for more than 10 years. Nothing is working. You just stepped into a new realm. Come up hither. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Please listen to me. Carry the consciousness of an overcomer from this conference. I taught what I taught so that you will know what to do to remain where God has brought you. You have been brought to an elevated realm of life. Refuse to be deceived. Refuse to fall into iniquity. Refuse to be controlled by fear. Resist affliction. Stand your ground in love. Refuse to be offended and take actions. God has awoken you to a new realm. As you walk out of this conference, you will see that supernatural occurrences will become normal in your life. I'm seeing somebody on that road there. Something that looks like a yoke, a weight, just left your shoulder. You've carried that yoke on your shoulder, so much pain, as though your bones were compressed. You couldn't even stretch your bone. Something left you like a weight now. Somebody there, straight through that eye there. Who is that person? A weight just lifted off your shoulders. That thing limiting you has gone. Who is the person? Please come. I'm out of time. Thank you, Father. Just check yourself. You discover something has happened to you. Something has happened to you. If you have noticed a change, can you wave at me? You have noticed a change already. Look at that. My goodness. You have noticed a change already. Visible, physical, verifiable change. Can you wave at me? Look at that overflow. See the hands there. Somebody give the Lord the show. My God. My God. Look at that. So many persons have been taught, you will never be the same again. And everything God has done for you, He will use you to do for others. Tonight you have trusted in God. He has intervened. He is sending you to your world as His intervention. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Imagine the number of persons lifting their hands that they've been touched. Is God not faithful? Is God not merciful? Can you lift your hands and celebrate this God? I'm rounding up. We're out of time. Let me not take for granted what the Lord has done. Right? Those of you that have noticed a change, can you come to the front here? And then if you are in the overflow, can you come to the front of your screen? Come to the front of your screen. Let's just thank God for you. We can't take any testimony. If you have noticed a change, you waved your hand, come to the front here. Listen, for every one of you, imagine the people in front on the screen there. My goodness. Your miracle is permanent in the name of Jesus. Your miracle is permanent in the name of Jesus. Keep coming, keep coming. Look at what Jesus has done. Can somebody give the Lord the shout? They are still called. They are still coming. My goodness. Thank you, Father. Now, see what you will do. By the end of the service, write down your testimony. Don't take it for granted. It could be that you came just with headache and it's gone. Headache. Many have died of headache. Don't take it for granted. It's not only cancer or crippled people that will take their testimonies. There are many at the overflow. So, those of you at the overflow, make sure you get a pen and a paper. Write what God has done for you. Put your name and submit it to the ushers. We will give God thanks for what He has done tonight in your life. And please hear me. Go and put to work what you have learned, so that you become not just a testimony, but the answer to another person who is in crisis. Because that's what God wants to do with you. As you return what you have received from God graciously tonight, He will use you to give to others. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.